You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Ronaldo's got that twist now and pivot in the air.
Yeah.
I look at him doing that and I'm thinking, ooh, be careful. Yeah. That's like cruciate. That's potential cruciate in the making.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
I'm prepared to end it and I can't
do it then.
Again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should there be an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Yeah, welcome along. Champions League evening, very much up and running. Second half's just about to start. In all of the bigger games, we have some interesting storylines. PSG 1-0 up against Manchester City. Should really be 1-0. PSG have been the better side in that first half, you would have to say. But City have had their spells, you won't be surprised to hear. And Bernardo Silva, after Raheem Sterling hit the crossbar with a header, the most delicious ball in by Kevin De Bruyne with the outside of his foot. Bernardo Silva followed up. Keeper committed, obviously Donnarumma committed after making the save, and somehow Silva hit the crossbar with the follow-up and then reached again and missed that. So that was a gilt-edged chance, to say the least, for City. But on the whole, PSG have been very good. Verratti has been incredible in midfield, ably supported by Herrera and Trezeguet. At times, City a bit outnumbered there. De Bruyne is playing, it's a bit like the Stamford Bridge formation. De Bruyne is playing behind, this time it's Sterling instead of Foden as the false nine. And so Rodri and Bernardo Silva at times a touch outnumbered. Messi at times coming in off the right wing and being an extra man in there. I'm still not sure De Bruyne is fully fit, I have to say. And it's been generally Mbappe through the middle with Neymar out on the left-hand side. Neymar hasn't done much. In fact, at one stage I felt he was just bored or not feeling he was having enough eyeballs on him, and he tried a ridiculous flick for no good reason, really, over the head of Mahrez, who's on the right-hand side for City this evening. But it's been a really good game. Really, really good game, and pretty much lived up to its billing. These games often don't. But there's been a great tempo to it and lots of quality and still finally balanced. So that's where we are in Paris. In that group, by the way, Bruges 2-1 up away to Leipzig. As for Group B, AC Milan, they're at home this evening at the San Siro to Atletico Madrid, where it's 1-0 to Milan at the break. Liverpool in that same group, second half just started, 2-0 up away to Porto, which would be a very good result. The usual, so it was Salah and then Mane who scored for Liverpool in that first half. Elsewhere, a scoreline which catches the eye thus far, at the Bernabeu no less, Real Madrid 0, FC Sheriff 1 is where we are in Group D. Also in that group, Inter and Shakhtar Donetsk, 0-0. Borussia Dortmund this evening at home to Sporting Lisbon. They are 1-0 up. And Ajax, they're at home to Besiktas this evening. They are 2-0 up. So that is where we are thus far. Very happy to welcome in Mr. Andy Minton, editor of United We Stand. How you doing? You're very welcome.
Thank you. Looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to being at Old Trafford tomorrow evening. And I was just looking at the possibility of flights to see Sheriff play in Moldova. And I think there's a good story there, but might be a little bit complicated. It's pretty tricky to get to Moldova, let alone the part of the country they play in, which has declared independence from the rest of Moldova. So that might have to wait unless it gets to the knockout stages.
Which game are you watching this evening thus far?
I was watching them across the board. I was also watching my two daughters, and I was also watching a dog who wanted to play with me. And I've also got my mother around as well. So if you're going to ask me any detail on any Champions League game tonight, I'm going to be a complete failure. I know I've seen little snapshots of little games, and I just listened to your synopsis and Liverpool's result. Well, the scoreline so far is the one that stands out to me, and I've just seen little bits of it. So, but into Old Trafford tomorrow, big game. I spoke to Villarreal's goalkeeper the other day ahead of that one, which was quite interesting because he was the man who won the Europa League for Villarreal, saving from De Gea and scoring himself. And I think it's a very important game for Manchester United. So that is going to be my focus. And I'll once I finish this call, I'll watch what I can from tonight's matches.
That is no problem. Villarreal, I always vividly remember being at the Villarreal game at Old Trafford around the time George Best was very, very ill, had maybe passed away, or the word was out that he was about to pass away. It was also around the time Roy Keane had left the club and had finished nil all, and it meant Manchester United weren't going through. And I was in a section of Old Trafford. I didn't join in, I have to say. I mean, I never really forgot how important Ferguson was, but there was obviously a big Irish contingent over there, and this was a bad result. There was a real sense at the time Mourinho had taken over, and there was booing of Ferguson, amazingly. I was just thinking about it earlier today. There was booing of Ferguson, and then as he was walking down towards the tunnel, there were some fairly Irish-accented chants of Keno as well, I can tell you, for good measure. And it's funny, I always remember Ferguson like glaring up, and almost just by the force of his personality alone, he almost shut a few people up, as in you'd been caught by the teacher, you know, as Alex Ferguson here giving you the evil eye. So some bad memories for certain Manchester United fans when it comes to Villarreal at Old Trafford.
Your memory's absolutely fantastic there, because it did coincide with the Keane outburst. With George Best passing away, it was 0-0. In fact, they were all 0-0. Manchester United played Villarreal four times and they all ended 0-0. Villarreal had a very good team. Mm. Diego Forlan was very disappointed not to come back, because he'd felt that he'd never properly said goodbye to Manchester United fans. But you're right about the criticism of Alex Ferguson around that time, not just from Manchester United fans from Ireland, but I can remember being in Paris in that same group stage, and a lot of people turned on Fergie, and we had the front cover of United We Stand asking the question, is this the right man to take Manchester United forward? And he absolutely hit the roof, which basically meant access being cut. You know, that was it. If you questioned him, that was it. And I don't think such techniques would survive or even be allowed, really, today. He actually proved everybody wrong, because less than 3 years later, Manchester United were European champions. But 2005 was a pretty dark year for Manchester United. There was a controversial, and at least from fans, unwanted takeover. United reached the FA Cup final, outplayed Arsenal, lost the game, finished third in the league, which was unheard of at the time. And it was a young team. You know, people didn't realise how good Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney would be. But that you caught the mood completely right about what it was like last time. And Manchester United took a long time to play Villarreal again. It ended again in a draw in Gdansk in May. And it obviously went to penalties and they lost. As for travelling Irish Manchester United fans, the numbers are down because it's more complicated. But I'm pleased to say I was in Bern for the first Champions League game a few weeks ago, and the Irish Reds were very well represented. They had to come through signing all the various bits of documentation. But while they were complaining about that, they definitely weren't complaining about some of the bargain prices they found flying from Dublin. So some of the most hardcore Manchester United fans who go everywhere, I won't name them and embarrass them, but they're really, really good supporters, and they're travelling a long way to watch matches. It's not like you're just waking up in Manchester and having to go 2 miles. I know people who travel from Bray and from all around the Republic of Ireland and the North as well. So good people. I'm glad that culture exists, and I know that Liverpool have got a lot of fans from Ireland as well.
Yeah, they'd be the big two teams here, really, from Premier League point of view. Amazing you put that cover on United We Stand. Is he still the right man? That's a collector's item now. I'd be interested to see that cover or a picture of it at this stage. Do you remember, was there a Ferguson phone call? There must have been some Ferguson dirty looks the next time you dared cross the line into a press conference.
What happened was the Daily Mirror picked up on it and reproduced the cover, and word got back to me, but I wouldn't have changed the fan sentiment and our feeling at the time. He was Sir Alex Ferguson. He's a great Football Manager and in many ways a great person, but that didn't absolve him from criticism when fans felt that things were not going right, in the same way that it doesn't absolve Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when things aren't going right. The difference with Ferguson is he took it personally, and he took it as a slur, even though 90% of the coverage about him in United We Stand would have been positive. Mm. But we're not a PR operation on behalf of the club. The fans who pay a lot of money are absolutely entitled to offer their views. In hindsight, a lot of them were actually wrong, and United fans were wrong a lot of the time. So those people calling for Fergie to be sacked in December 89, and I think it would have been an overwhelming majority, they were wrong. And they were wrong in 05. And there was a time in 2002 when you'd go to European away games. I remember one in Nantes in France, and fans were singing 4-4-2. But Ferguson had probably realised that formation was already not the way forward. So once again, I think he like Van Gaal, he felt, who are you to tell me what to do? What are your qualifications to tell me what to do? But
well, he has a point.
I was at the Real game. I was in Paris, where it really turned after a defeat against Lille, and the mood was pretty vicious.
Mm. So interested in the mood now. Then, sorry, that's a hell of a segue. Old Trafford tomorrow, Villarreal once again. September's been pretty bleak for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you would have to say. We spoke not long after the 4-1 win against Newcastle. That was on September 11th after the international break, and that was this weird Ronaldo event, and it's calmed down since then. And I remember making the point to you that the performances pre-international break were not good, and United had got away with a few games and results were better than performances had been. And so from the Newcastle win, I haven't spoken to you since, but we had... I spoke to you the eve of Young Boys, actually. I remember, yeah, you joined us, yeah.
After the game. So after since, the game
yeah, Young Boys. So since since Young Boys out of jail at West Ham, that's not a terrible situation. West Ham are going to be good at home for sure. And then West Ham in the EFL Cup, bad timing to lose that one at home. And then the Villa performance. I was watching the game at Stamford Bridge, so I just saw highlights here and read reports, Andy, but it more than looks like Aston Villa certainly deserved a point, if not the 3 points. United can have no great complaints anyway, a lot of chances created. So all told now, that becomes a miserable September for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We are back now in this constant cycle with Solskjaer where he's in trouble and gets his way out of it again. He's now right back in trouble, I would put it to you.
Well, you're accurate to put it to me. 3 defeats in 4 games, it isn't good enough. We spoke in Bern, and I remember it clearly because I think I was the last person in the stadium, and I had a security guard giving me the eye, and not in a positive way either. I didn't get out of the stadium. And then what followed was that late win at West Ham, and I'd spoke to David Moyes, and he absolutely felt West Ham deserved a point. Now, if they didn't get one, David De Gea made that save from Mark Noble. And then there was defeat from 2 pretty much reserve teams in the Carabao Cup at Old Trafford. And then the biggest disappointment was the home defeat against Aston Villa. Yeah. It's just not good enough. The team are not playing particularly well. The results, and the United and every football manager are in a results business. It causes concern among Manchester United fans. We can go through the whole team now and say who's been playing well and who's been contributing and who hasn't been. We can look at the situation with a glass half full or half empty. United have started better than in previous seasons, very close to the top of the league. But it feels like if the team do not beat Villarreal, then the mood will turn even more. And what I found in the last few days is, yes, there's the immediate post-match outrage, which follows any defeat, but moderates are turning and they're saying things like, I love Ollie. I'd love him to do well, but, and there's a but there. They're just not convinced that he is the man to bring success to Manchester United. So it's up to him and his team to prove those type of people wrong. And these aren't the people who are never happy. These are moderates who've been very supportive. And the mood can change quickly. A win against Villarreal, another win against Everton, and the ship of Manchester United will be more stable again. But if the losses continue, then it will be a serious concern. And Ole Gunnar's under more scrutiny now, and with good reason. He's nearly been in the job for 3 years. He has been backed. Look at the players that he's got available to him. He's got to get a tune out of them, and he hasn't been able to in recent matches. Manchester United created a lot of chances, haven't scored at home in two games. And I know that there's been concern there about individual performances. The best player has been a 19-year-old, Mason Greenwood. And Jadon Sancho, the most expensive summer signing. He's done nothing yet. Cristiano Ronaldo, he had a poor game against Villa, but he has delivered. And I still have confidence in Manchester United and in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but it takes a big knock when you look at the current form. And as you said, it is a trend. And the best example of that trend, I can remember speaking to yourselves in December 19, and you'd had a bad time. And the next two games were Tottenham at home, managed by Mourinho, and Manchester City away. And United won both of them, playing really well. So he keeps doing that, which is okay, but he's going to be judged at the end of the season. And I did a piece in the aftermath of Saturday's defeat saying he needs a trophy this season. Now, that's just my opinion. That's not a fact. That is doesn't mean he's going to get sacked if he doesn't win one. I'm not making the decision. I'm a never hid my allegiance, and I'd like to think I've got informed opinions as well, and I speak to an awful lot of people around the club, inside the club. But it feels to me that Manchester United have not won a trophy since 2017, and it's glory, glory Man United. And if the team can challenge properly for the Premier League, fantastic. I mean, they've got to get out of this Champions League group stage. That's really important. Anything less than that will bring a lot more criticism. And you just got to get the players playing, and they've got to take their part, even though the manager's getting most of the criticism at the moment. And it's got to start at home against a Villarreal team who are unbeaten this season. They've drawn 5 of the 6 league games. They drew at Real Madrid on Saturday night. The only team to beat them was Chelsea in Belfast in that Super Cup final. Of course, that was after penalties, 120 minutes. We know it's going to be nil-nil tomorrow, probably for 90 minutes, but there will be no penalties. Manchester United have got to be a very well-organised, highly motivated and technically adept Villarreal team with a very good manager. It might play into United's hands if they come out and attack, because United are really struggling to break teams down, especially at Old Trafford.
I sense that as well over here, the point you made about moderates starting to turn now. I think with Solskjaer, you recognise he's done certain aspects of the job very well. He's got rid of some dead wood. He's recruited, you would have to say, on the whole, very, very well. I think the Jadon Sancho thing has been surprising. He doesn't even look sharp or fit at the moment. Maybe there's a tiredness there, but it's very early days. But in the main, you would say the starting 11 he has, the 14, 15 in the squad, is so much better than what he inherited. So that aspect of the job has been so good. And yet you contrast that with some of the results. You contrast that with some of the in-game decisions. Young Boys in particular jumps to mind, how that game was managed. And then maybe most damning of all, take the Young Boys game, which we spoke, like I said, afterwards, or certain other games. Gary Neville's made this point as well, and he's entirely right. They're still a team of moments. They're still a team of seriously talented individuals who spring to life, because frankly, you know, if they came together for an All-Stars game and never trained before together, eventually Pogba, Bruno, Ronaldo, they'd spark off each other at some stage in the game. Like that Young Boys game again, for instance, you take a, and I'm going to use the managers deliberately as opposed to the players, you take a Guardiola team, you take a Klopp team, you take a Tuchel team. It's not a backs to the wall job, and like we can't even dare to keep possession kind of a job, which is what it became under Solskjaer. And for me, that's the most damning thing, Andy, that this far into his reign, you couldn't say Manchester United play a great possession game with great rhythm and really inspire you in that kind of way, inspire confidence in that kind of way. It's still very much like moments. Pogba, do something. Bruno, do something. And that's the big question mark when it comes to Solskjaer, when you compare him to the best in class, the managers I've just mentioned. There's no way their teams would have played like they did against Young Boys.
And yet when Manchester United, managed by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, play those best-in-class teams, they often get very good results.
But playing like counter-attacking, sit back, soak it up, bit of luck, De Gea makes some saves, and we'll nick one with split strikers. Like, let's be honest, they're not Manchester United performances the way you'd want them to be.
I disagree. I think the last two league performances at Manchester City, I thought the one in December 19 was fantastic. It was exactly the type of performance that I want to see, with lightning quick attacks. Manchester City away last season, another win. Never going to grumble at a win against a team like City. I think you've got a point there. Manchester United tactically set up with a system. It relied on Anthony Martial doing a very good job up front, and he did it, but it also relied on United needing a little bit of luck, because the people in charge of the team would still feel that Manchester City at that time was still superior technically, and I still think there's an element of that now. And I've put it to different people there about the tactical side of things and the concerns fans have, specifically about playing two perceived defensive midfielders in home matches, Fred, Scott McTominay. And they're people who are getting a lot of criticism at the moment, more so Fred than anybody else. And he's not playing well. And you sense that teams know that he could be susceptible to losing the ball. Teams are playing in a similar fashion against United. They're pressing and it's working well for them. They're defending deeply when they need to, just like Villarreal did in Gdansk. And United are really struggling with it. Has this team got a really identifiable style? I take your point. I don't think it has yet. It is a team of moments and individual brilliance, and that has got to change. I mean, if the results are good and they win the league, then people will be saying, oh, that was a little bit strange. But look at the teams who've won the league. They've all had a style. And I hate going back to those Fergies, you know, the 4-4-2, but it was a very clear style. I do think the league's tougher now. I think every Premier League team is far better resourced than they were. You're now seeing Southampton go to Manchester City and draw, Brentford against Liverpool, Villa win at Old Trafford. And for the neutral and for the credibility of the league, that is a good thing, because on Saturday, I looked at League One in France and PSG were 10 points clear after 8 games. I just thought, that's ridiculous. Same with the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich win it year after year. That's not a competition to me, even though there are good other teams there. But fans don't support leagues, they support teams. And right now, one of the most popular teams, Manchester United, is not playing well. They're losing games. And that style that you're talking about has not really come together. Even when United beat Newcastle, I don't think they played particularly well, and didn't play particularly well at Southampton away. Got the win at Wolves. So it's been far from convincing so far this season. And yet it's played 6-1-4, drawn one, lost one.
Yeah. I mean, really, the Villa game is the killer one. I mean, the League Cup defeat, you kind of live with, it wouldn't be a big deal. And you could spin the West Ham win as, you know, strength of squad and, you know, certain resilience and last minute winner and all that stuff. And so, like, young boys, a slip up, and you can put that down to the red card. So it's really the Villa one, which has probably heightened everything. And the Villa one, of course, is now synonymous with Bruno Fernandes and the penalty miss and the Instagram post and all of this. And I don't know, it was in equal parts surreal and also hilarious to watch Martinez tell Ronaldo he should take the penalty. It's like he's kind of tugging at the fault lines here in this team, and maybe a rivalry there with these two. So Bruno misses it. The PR machine kicks into action with the Instagram post. And like, it is just so grim and hollow and just pointless, but this is the world we're living in. And then you've got Ronaldo, I presume, lurking to take the next penalty. So that's bubbling away. That's probably a situation that as a manager you'd want to get on top of and just massage out pretty quickly before it morphs into anything bigger.
Yeah, they've been here a couple of years ago with the penalties at the start of the season 2 years ago. Bruno's record of penalties was very good. Ronaldo obviously is famous for his goals, including penalties. It was put to me on Saturday that Bruno felt the pressure of having Ronaldo stood right behind him. I don't know where the truth lies there. He'd probably never admit to that. As for his social media post, I actually thought it did come from him. I thought it did come from the heart. And I'm not overly comfortable with it. I'm really uncomfortable with a lot of players insincere social media posts, where I just think, that's just not you. It's just not you. Yeah. Or over-designed posts where substitutes have got like over-designed images of them, you know, scoring a goal or jumping up, and I'm thinking, you're not even in the match day squad. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I've definitely got an issue with some of those posts. With the Bruno thing, what he said, I don't mind it so much.
It's just too long.
What then happened with all of his players chipping in with love hearts, I just thought it's a little bit cliched, but that's my opinion. I can see that loads of people love that sort of guff, and that's what it is.
Yeah, but like, if Bruno tweeted like a turd emoji, that loads of people would love it as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's depressing, and it's depressing as a journalist. People just want prejudice reinforced. There's a lot of tribalism. I took the time to speak to Villarreal's goalkeeper, and he's really interesting. And I got an exclusive interview with him, and nobody really cares. No. And that's so depressing.
I know.
Where I could put something out. Probably my best example was I went to Belgrade a few years ago, went undercover, covered the derby, took me months and months to get contact, massive trouble there, really interesting story, did it, really proud of the writing. And then I made a 5-minute call to Madrid about David De Gea, and it got 10 times as many hits. So yeah. It's just depressing sometimes as a journalist what people want, and they just want prejudice reinforcing. And you can see it on social media with posts like that.
Yeah, you sure can. Well, look, interesting time. This game at Old Trafford tomorrow in the crowd. Let's see what happens if there's a bad result, good result. I think interesting couple of weeks coming up for sure, Andy. Great to have you on. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball.
Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear. Backed by above and beyond expertise, go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product.